begin reading in verse number 1 of Revelation 21. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse, the last book in the Bible. Amen. It's the way the story is going to end. Hallelujah. When it's all said and done. Not one jot nor tittle. Amen. Will remain unfulfilled. So we're looking for the Lord to help us this morning. Glad for all of our visitors. We're glad you're here. And we pray that we'll say something that will help you. And we'll preach to the saints. Haven't frequent in this pulpit much here lately, it seems like. But anyway, it's always good to preach to you folks here. Amen. The 21st chapter of verse number 1 of the 21st chapter, the book of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. Can you stretch your right hands this way? Ask God to help us here. Amen. In this service this morning. Father, we come to You. Now in the lovely name of Jesus, I pray that You would help us to exhort. Lord, to rebuke with all long suffering. Help us as the man of God not to be a brawler nor a striker. But help us, Lord, to preach under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Let us say what You would have us to say and do, Lord, what You would have us to do. And we'll give You praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen and Amen. Glory to God. I want to preach on a few moments this morning. Good to see my in-laws come in here. Hallelujah. Pleasant surprise. Glory to God. Amen. I'd like to preach on, if the Lord would help me, for just a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach on heaven is my heartbeat. Amen. Heaven is my heartbeat. Glory to God. Heaven today is the ultimate goal. Amen. If you're not in this thing to go to heaven, you're in it for the wrong reasons. And I'm telling you, this world is crazy about a lot of things. But really, the thrill of heaven has lost its fervor in God's church. We're so consumed about in this life in which we're living, with our jobs and our careers and all those things, that we've really lost sight of the main goal, and that is heaven and what heaven holds. Amen. When we think about heaven, and we sung about it this morning, amen, heaven is a great place, but just the thought of heaven ought to settle our nerves, and it ought to strengthen our steps, and ought to sanctify our hearts. He that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. If you have the hope of heaven, that alone will cause you to purify your life, sanctify your thoughts. But even things, it seems, in this generation are, amen, things for us are not only what they are, amen, but what we hold them to be. Amen. Heaven, we know what it is. We've heard it preached. But I wonder this morning, amen, how do you hold heaven in your thoughts, in your mind, in your life? Is it forefront, amen, and out front in your life? Heaven, the place of the redeemed, the home of the saved, the land of the happy, being brave and courageous. Any man that gets to heaven in this hour in which we're living is a man that chooses to be courageous in spite of men and devils and the principalities and the powers of this world. Listen to me. It's strange to me, however, that a fact may remain fixed while the interpretation of that fact, as time goes on, it changes with the generations and through the years. And I'm telling you, I don't believe heaven is as dear to us today as it was to those old timers. Those that went through depression didn't have all the gadgets and the gimmicks and the conveniences we do, but they held heaven a lot closer and a lot dearer in their lives. So I'm going to preach at the Lord to help me. Even one fact that I see that has changed, but a fact that remains, is this world in which we live. It's been here for centuries. Even people have been born, they've died, life has went on, people have made money, they've built houses, they've invested, and it's been going on that way for centuries. That's a stable fact, ain't they? Isn't that right? But I want you to know, modern man, even views this world in which we're living a lot different than our forefathers did. Are you hearing me? We're more concerned about CDs and mutual funds and houses and land and silver and gold, what we can get. Amen. Preachers preach today about a faith that brings them everything. Amen. But brother, a faith that the martyrs, amen, died for, shed their blood in the Roman Colosseums, is the faith today that is taken for granted by the church world. Listen to me. Amen. The world for us is not only what it is, but what we believe it to be. And there was a time that the world was the church's enemy. Come on now. There was a time that sin was the church's enemy. There was a time that living after the flesh was the enemy of the church. But listen to me. How do we see the world this morning? Amen. That is a tremendous load of woe, or either a load of well-being. It rides on our interpretation of this morning, what we think of the world. Are you hearing me? There was a day that the pulpit thundered, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." There was a day that they preached, "If any man be a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God." Amen. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." But now, brother, the world used to be an enemy. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about its system. I'm talking about the influence of this world. I'm not talking about necessarily just individuals. We are in this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Are you hearing me? But I'm thinking that our interpretation has changed. In my library back there and at my home, I have about 2,000 volumes of old books. I've read many of them. Amen. And scanned through a lot of them. Writers such as T. Tuitt Talmage and John Jowett and G.H. Morrison and Charles Spurgeon. And even different writers, different types of beliefs. But they all had one, amen, common denominator. They preached that the world and sin was our enemy. You're not getting that today. Amen. With the preaching that's going on, it's all about prosperity. It's all about laying hold of the American dream and living a Madison Avenue style of life. These yellow-bellied soft liberals, amen, make very little mention of heaven, but they overemphasize the world. That the church is in this world, amen, to win it back to God. That's kingdom theology. They say we're here and we're going to take it back. I want to tell you, the Bible said in the last days perilous times would come. Men would be seducers. Amen. Come on now, deceiving themselves.
hallelujah, and being deceived, they would grow worse and worse. I'm telling you, the only one that's going to fix this world problem, amen, is not the church in itself. It's when the head of the church, the Prince of Peace, amen, leaves the sacred precincts of eternity and comes to gather His church again. Amen. You hearing me? Now listen. What is your interpretation of the world? Are you hearing me? Is it your enemy? Or do you have a fond desire for it? Come on, as the preacher said the other night, or is there a miry place in your heart for the world? Are you hearing me? The old timers conceived this, that the world was a battlefield. Are you hearing me? They didn't overemphasize the world. They preached this world was a battleground. It was a battlefield. They believed in sin. They believed in the devil. They believed in hell, and these things constituted one force. And then they believed in God, Brother Bergalt, and righteousness in heaven. And they believed that was the other force. There was enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. They believed that these two forces opposed each other forever in a grave and deep and irreconcilable hostility. They would never get along. Even the soldiers of the cross and the soldiers in God's army would never even get along with the world. That's how they preached. They preached man had to choose a side. He could not be neutral. He could not straddle the fence. He couldn't be worldly and a Christian. Amen. He couldn't be a Christian and worldly. We live in a churchy world and a worldly church. Are you hearing me? You can't tell the difference anymore. But I want to tell you, amen, God, amen, they expected all-out war when they chose God's side. Amen. They knew the fight would be real. They knew it was to be deadly. They knew it was going to last as long as life lasted. I want to tell you, if you get enlisted in this army, He's not going to force you to join His army, but it will be by a volunteer basis. And when you get in this army, I'm not going to preach to you, you'll have no trouble, just have faith in God. I'm going to tell you, when you get in this army, you're going to have trouble. You're going to hear the roar of Pharaoh's wheels. He's going to come against you with everything He's got. Y'all hear? Oh, glory to God. Oh, I need to preach. Amen. Listen to me. Back in that day, when they had to wash their clothes with a washboard, plow their fields with a couple of oxen, work from sun up to sundown, they didn't come in and turn on any air conditioning or lights. They had to light a cannon, or lantern rather. Amen, are you hearing me? Amen, they were in a battle. They didn't have all the convenience, but heaven, amen, held to them. It was going to be the final consummation. If they could make it to heaven, it'd be a land of no more trouble. If they could make it to heaven, it'd be a land of no more sorrow. If they could make it to heaven, it'd be a land of no more pain. Are you with me? This morning I'm trying to preach to you. They looked forward to heaven as being a return from the war. Even being a place where they could lay down their sword and enjoy the peace and the comfort of being home in heaven's city, in a residence. Come on now. They fought the devil. They fought sin. They fought the world tooth and toenail. Even but then when they thought of heaven, it was a land of rest. Come on now. But while they were in this world, they were going to fight. They were going to war. Even they were going to set up beachfronts. I'm trying to get this point home to you. Their sermons and their songs had they had martial warlikeness in them. That was a quality about them. They sung about a battle. They sung about a victory. They sang about these things, and in their singing, there was a trace of homesickness. Come on now, they knew the battle was hot, but they had the hope of heaven. But we're living in a day that we have become so, even sedate. sedated by pleasure. We've been so sedated by entertainment. We've had it so easy that we're no longer fighting. Amen. Like we need to fight. I'm telling you. Amen. Now's not the time to lay down the sword. Now's not the time to compromise. Now's not the time to back up. It's time to stand up. Amen. We're not home yet. Amen. Man, we're sedated with this pleasure, this ease. Man's always coming up with new novelties. Here lately, man, I just watched. They had a big old contraption come down our street the other day. Man, what man has invented. I just marvel at all the things that man has invented. Amen. But oh, along with all the inventions, technology, amen, and all the pleasure, what the devil's trying to do is sedate people to get their minds off heaven and just have a heaven here on earth. Oh, I wish somebody would say amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Men, them old time soldiers of the cross thought of heaven. They thought of home. They thought of a residence. They thought of rest and reunion. When they sang of the battle ended and the victory won, whether they were charging hell's guns or contemplating the wolf's inn or the Father's welcome, they never forgot that the world they lived in was not their friend. It was their enemy. It was a battleground and many were slain and many were wounded. Listen to me. But we're living in a church world today that has lost its warlikeness. Amen. Now the world has become a misunderstood friend. Amen. Come on now. The church is in bed with Egypt. The church is in bed with Babylon. The church is in bed with the world. And the church's mission, brother and sister, is to declare the Word of God, to proclaim the Word of God, to witness the Word with the Word of God, to preach with power, to preach with unction, to preach with fire. We no longer proclaim it. Now we're sharing it. Come on here. But I'm telling you, God, amen, needs a church once again that'll wake up and be His voice. When Christ left, five things He left. Are you hearing me? When He left His church, He left us five things. Number one was an unfinished task. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. When He left, He said, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send you another comforter. And I want you to finish the task that I've begun to do. An unchallenged message. They had never preached the gospel, amen, like they were getting ready to. But He gave them a message, amen, that could not be challenged by the systems of this world, by philosophy and by religion. It was a Holy Ghost born message. He gave them unlimited power. Jesus said, I have all power. I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send you another comforter. They had an unshakable testimony. They had the Word of God. Every promise in this book is yea and amen. And they had an unfailing promise. Boys, you can finish the task. You've got the right message. You have unlimited power. Amen. You have an unshakable testimony. You were there. You've handled me. You've seen me die. You've seen me come out of the grave. And I want you to take this gospel and preach it. But the fifth thing they had was an unfailing promise. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't care what the devil brings. I don't care what kind of guns hell brings our way. The church is not defeated. The church is not going down. God's church is going up. God's church is still declaring with a loud voice that Jesus is Lord. He come out of the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's coming again. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Our problem is heaven's not our heartbeat. Huh? Do we ever think about really going home? Leaving this world of woe and pain? We are so busy. We've lost the heartbeat of heaven. We've been sedated with pleasure. We have got so occupied, some of us even with our jobs, that we don't think of heaven. Come on now, I know you got to make a better living. I know some of you, Brother Kirk, going to school. I'm not referring to that, trying to do something. Amen, your main focus has got to be heaven. Above it all, getting to heaven. Are you here with me this morning? But we're living in a world that is so sedated, and we're so prosperous, and we've got things going so well, that instead of being the church and being the voice of the church has been silenced. Mr. Montgomery, that field marshal under Eisenhower, a soldier asked him, "How do you interpret the Great Commission?" He answered instantly, "You don't interpret it, you do it." And that's exactly what the apostles did. That's what the early church did. Everywhere they went, they preached, and it caught fire. The world was always on the receiving end of their message. But what a change. Today, come on here, the church has lost its testimony. She has nothing to say. The church that one time went out to declare, now we're going out and inquiring. Even today's pillow prophets are going to the world for instruction. Now we have Christian psychologists and Christian country western singers and Christian comedians and Christian. Come on now. But they're not hearing our voice. I'm telling you, God's church is going to be powerful again. She's got to be a blood-bought, amen, heaven's born, amen, Holy Ghost church. And that's the only church that'll get the world's attention.
I would say something here probably going to shock some of you. You know, I think sometimes we try to convince ourselves, we the church, we've got the best. We got the best singers. We got the best this. We got the best that. Let me tell you something. The church cannot compete. For every singer that comes on the Christian scene, there is going to be a singer on the secular scene that's going to get just as anointed. No, she's going to get more anointed with what she's singing about than a lot of church folks do. Oh, it's quiet. But what's your heartbeat? Is your heartbeat heaven? Or is it what you can get down here? What is your heartbeat? Is it what you can gain in this life? Is this, you know, some of my friends have left what they used to believe and what they used to preach, and they really believed it. They were my friends, stayed with them, preached with them, been friends with them. Come on now. And they're selling out what they've always stood for and compromising principles and convictions in their life, even just to gain a crowd. Are you hearing me? Selling their soul for just a bigger paycheck? Come on now. They don't see this world as a battleground. They don't see it as a conflict. It's what we can get. But I want to tell you, amen, I'm not in here to pastor the biggest church in Ouachita Parish. I'm in here to share my burden and my vision that you'll grab a hold of heaven and know before we get there, there's going to be devils to fight. There'll be temptations to conquer. There will be battles to win. We might lose a battle, Brother Lance, every now and then, but we have not lost the war. We've got to stay, amen, in the fight. Woo, I hope I don't scare you visitors off, but I got to preach what I felt today. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hear me now. We got a church world that preaches a Christ who is a religious tranquilizer. They get a Jesus like Isaiah said. They just want His name to hide their sins, but they want to eat their own bread. They want to wear their own apparel. They want to do their own thing. They want a Jesus who doesn't have any sovereignty in their life. They want a Jesus who will be their Savior, but not a Jesus who will be their Lord. They adopt the world's methods. Amen. They court the world's favor. Come on now, they don't want to do anything that would offend
Somebody, I'm telling you, if you live holy in this world, if you walk with God, you can't help but offend somebody. Are you hearing me? Glory be to God. When the church shares the nature of the enemy, she offers him victory. When the church becomes like the world, she loses her power to attack the world. Her kinship with this world deprives her of her kingship in heaven. We are not citizens of this world only. We are citizens of heaven, and we must obey God rather than man. I wish somebody here today would shout hallelujah. I'm telling you, my heartbeat is heaven. I said my heartbeat is heaven. I want to go to heaven. Oh, glory to God. But until I get there, I'm going to keep preaching with a two-edged sword. I'm going to keep praising with a high-sounding cymbal. Are you hearing me? This world's a battleground. Is it a battleground to you? You see, seems like we've forgotten that the gospel is something more than just coming to the church and hearing. The gospel is something that we go out and tell. Come on now. It's got to go beyond the four walls here. The greatest peril facing the holiness movement in this last half of, amen, or the first part of this century is this. It's prayerlessness. It's a lack of being watchful and alert. Amen, that we are on a battlefield and we have an enemy. We have many problems, but we are most poverty stricken right here in the place of prayer. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. We have many players, but few payers. Few prayers and many singers. Few clingers. Hallelujah, you're hearing me? Lots of pastors and few wrestlers. Many fears and few tears. Much fashion and little passion. Much interference. Hallelujah, interferes, but few intercessors. Many riders, but few fighters. Amen, that's where we're failing. We've got to get that voice. We've got to get the warlikeness about us again. We've got to realize this world's not our home. Amen, we're just a passing through. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're not at home. The Canaanites don't like us. The worldlings don't like us. But we're going to fight. And we're going to represent the kingdom of God until we make it all the way to heaven's shore. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Oh, but listen to me. The fact is today, the world is the same as it's ever been. But it's just we don't interpret it like the old folks did. Are you hearing me? We don't think of this world as a battleground. It's more like an amusement park. It's a playground. It's one big entertainment center. It's a pleasure paradise. Hey man, let's just take out... Come on now. How many homes could have been reconciled? Hey man, if the philosophy of the counselors wasn't take care, number one, do what's best for you. How many homes could have been reconciled if someone would have preached forgiveness? Huh? How many homes have been lost to the enemy because it was all about number one and self and living for your own gain and your own pleasure? Oh God, that's not what we're here for, church. Come on now, Jesus had another otherism that went beyond. He didn't live for himself. Are you hearing me? He came and lived for us. He showed us that He had power over the devil, over sin, over death. Hallelujah. And that's the way we're to be. We're not here, man. So many are not in this world to fight. It's a playground. It's an amusement center. An amusement park. It's pleasure paradise. They're not here to fight. They're here to frolic. They want to go to the lake and they want to do this. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Amen. In themselves. But we've got people that say they're saved. And on Sunday morning, they're down at the lake. They're at NASCAR. They're at the football game. Come on now. They're not real Christians. Real Christians know it's a battle. You know why you're here this morning? Because God has put me as your pastor to open this book. Amen. And tell you, amen, this is a war. And this is what we've got to do. Amen. To beat the devil and make it all the way to glory. Would you lift your hands and give Him praise and glory in this service this morning? Come on now. We're pilgrims and strangers. We're to confess plainly that we're pilgrims and strangers. But I'm afraid so many of the church, they don't think this is a foreign land. And it's a lot the preacher's fault in our day, because they preach this prosperity. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, hocus, pocus, bring it into focus, speak it positively, and it shall be yours. Watch what you say. Don't say you're sick. Huh? Well, if you're sick, you're sick. Because you say you're not sick doesn't make you not sick. Come on now. Well, I've never had a headache. Because just because you haven't claimed to have a headache doesn't mean you haven't had one. Come on now. Man, I went into that jail one time and these guys were up in an uproar. I said, well, what is it? They said, we need to talk to you about something, preacher. I said, what? Well, what? You know I preach old-time religion in there. I don't change when I go to the jail. I preach it probably harder to them than I do here sometimes. They come to me and they said, we don't understand it. They said, we are prisoners. Do you understand that? I said, yeah, I understand that. They said, we are convicts. You understand that? I said, yeah, I understand that. That's why I'm here. They said, we don't have a job, really. Do you understand that? I said, yeah. They said, some of us get paid a little bit, like 35 cents a week or something. I said, really? They said, yeah. And then we've got preachers coming in here preaching on paying your tithe. Why don't they preach you the unsearchable riches of Christ? Come on now, that is funny, ain't it? But that's where the church is. Amen, it's this world. You know who, amen, is God of most Christians? It's Almighty Dollar. Are you hearing me? Oh, glory be to God. Oh, I need to preach. But I want to tell you, today we have these war memorial parks. Amen, they've got picnic tables and swings and slides. But there was a time there wasn't slides. It wasn't a playground. Cannons were blasted and guns were fired. And blood was flowing. Are you hearing me? Now you've got guides that would take you through and share history and tell you about the battle. But there was a day the generals were shouting out commands, amen, and getting their formations and doing what they needed to do. I want to tell you, that's the way it used to be in the church. There was a day that our praise and worship was cannons a blasting and guns a firing. We come to church saying, Lord, we're in a battle. This world ain't treating me right, but we're going to praise you. We're going to stay in the fight because heaven is our home. We're not laying down our sword until we get to glory. Amen. Hallelujah. See, life is still a battleground. Are y'all hearing me? Life is our greatest foe. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, I gotta hurry, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life is a conflict. Who, he said before, that shall separate us from the love of God? Shall famine? That's life. Shall pestilence? That's life. Shall persecution? That's life. Huh? Come on now. All those things are life, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. Come on here. Life ain't going to treat us fair. Sometimes it's going to give us a raw deal. Come on, I don't understand why Kurt and Sarah, amen, lost them two little twins a while back. Amen, when there's so many babies that are being aborted. I don't have the answer. I told Kurt that. I don't understand it, but God knows all. Are you hearing me? He knows all. We just got to leave it to God and His character, that He is good and He knows what He's doing. Are you hearing me? Amen, but life isn't always fair, Brother Curtis. Amen, Brother Richard, it's not always fair. Brother Tony, it's not always fair. We've got to realize it's a battleground, and the greatest foe is not just sin and Satan, but it's life itself. Are you hearing me? We've got to remember Satan hates me. That Satan accuses me. That Satan tempts me. He's our enemy. But you've got to remember this and not forget, God loves me, and God's going to keep me. And if God be in me, who can be against me? Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you here this morning, amen, the devil hates you, but God loves you. I said the devil hates you, but God loves you. Woo! Come on, rest easy, you stressed out saints. Come on here. The duel's not between the church and Satan. Are you hearing me? If it was, we'd be in trouble. But the duel is really, amen, between Satan and the head of the church. Are you hearing me? Amen. Man is no match for Satan. He's mighty. He knows how to trick and deceive and tempt and cause us to stumble and falter. He's mightier than man. But just as Satan is mightier than man, he's no match for the devil. Are you hearing me? Amen. Our God has all power. Amen. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. If He's living within us, we don't have to sing a sad song. We can keep our sword in our hand and fight until we make it all the way to heaven. And then, and only then, we'll lay down our swords. Amen. We'll be at peace forevermore. Oh, glory to God. I say, hang on to that sword. Me and Brother Matt were teasing about there's three messages you hear all the time. I'm about getting on it right now. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, we are, amen, we are the church of the living God. Are you all with me? I need to close. You see, Satan's power is derived. He's mighty. You are foolish if you act like the devil doesn't have any power. He's mighty. He's crafty. He took Adam and Eve in the garden with, amen, before there was ever sin. Are you hearing me? And he's been learning from that time until now. He's crafty. Brother Bruce Taylor, he is mighty. He doesn't care how he gets you and how long it's going to take him to get you. He'll set the trap and bait you until he finally gets you where he wants you. But listen to me. His power is derived. He doesn't have power by right, but only by permission. Because God, amen, is all powerful. And God, amen, is sovereign. And God, amen, is immutable. And God cannot lie. And Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Let philosophy blast us. Let psychiatry fire their cannons at us. We've got a weapon. Hallelujah, the Word of God. It's quick and powerful. No bomb can destroy it. No fire can consume it. It's our weapon. Let's stand on it. Let's preach it. Let's believe it. Woo. Man, I feel the Lord. Devil wants you to convince you he's the Lord of everything. He's the prince and the power of this world. His rule is in this world. This world. He don't rule heaven. God rules the heaven. Matter of fact, Satan's the biggest loser that's ever been. They kicked him on out. He fell when there wasn't a tempter. Are you hearing me? Amen. God just kicked him on out of heaven. He's the prince and the power of this world. But he's not the power. He's not the ruler of everything. Amen. He has made this world a battlefield. Are you hearing me? Some of you have heavy hearts. You're carrying sorrows. You're carrying grief, heartache, pain. But you can't forget, this world is a battlefield. It's a battleground. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. You know, we have a hard time discerning that. A lot of times if the preacher preaches, amen, something maybe that's involving these children, and I'm hitting at that spirit that I see that's driving them. You parents, sometimes if you're not careful, you'll think, he's picking on my kid. I'm not wrestling with them. I'm wrestling with that spirit that's unknown to sometimes, and you can't see it because you're right up to it. And God inspires me and gives me unction, and the Holy Ghost speaks. And if we're not careful, we think, he's picking on little Susie. He's stepping on little, he's preaching to little Johnny. And if you're not careful, you'll stifle the move of God in their life. This is a battle. When I get up to preach, I'm not up here to entertain. There's a lot of preachers that are just up to entertain and do their own thing. Are you hearing me? But I'm not here to entertain. I'm telling you, and, amen, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Neither shall there be any more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things shall be passed away. There's coming a day, church, the battle will be over. We'll go to a land where there's no burdens. We'll go to a land where there'll be no more goodbyes. We'll go to a land there'll be no more sin. And because there'll be no more sin, there'll be no cemeteries. There'll be no more funeral processions. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more volcanoes and tsunamis and hurricanes and earthquakes. There'll be no night, for He will be the light. There'll be no prisons to darken the landscape. There'll be no locks on the doors, no bars on the windows. Amen. Come on now. I'm not preaching about a myth. I'm not preaching a madman's dream. I'm not preaching a mirage. Amen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many mansions. We could go over in the little map and be the reporting crew in Iraq. We talked about hope to them boys. So their eyes would light up. They think, after this battle, I'm going home. I ain't going to have to fight the enemy no more. I'm not going to have to look over my back no more. Even the battle will be over. I can rest. Oh, glory to God. Hey man, that's only a temporary rest because they're going to still have to deal with life. But I'm talking about a place when we get there and we lay our swords down and we study war no more. The land will be at peace. We're almost there. Why in the world would you want to drop your sword now? Why would you want to take off your armor now? Your armor, you got to keep it on. Amen. Until we close our eyes in death. Amen. Heaven's called a house. It's a place of residence. It's a home. It's a city. There's security. There's safety. There's stability. I'm telling you, heaven is home. This life is a battlefield. But if we weren't so sedated, come on, Shay, with pleasure and entertainment and a life of ease, preaching like this 30 or 40 years ago, the preacher probably never would have got through. We can't wait for the preacher to get done so we can go get in line. You know, one of the only pleasurable things we holiness folks do is eat. Huh? What about heaven? Is it your heartbeat today? Is it your heartbeat today? Dave, is heaven your heartbeat? Make heaven more than anything else. How about it, Kurt? Heaven more than anything else. Brother John?
Does heaven in your heart beat? Do we realize, do we still realize that we are in a battle? And the devil is coming to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to wreck and ruin our lives. I've told you this story. I'm going to tell this and I'm going to close. I had more, but H.C. Morrison was a missionary. Randy, who spent his whole life on a foreign soil. When he was coming home, unbeknownst to him, one of the presidents was on the same ship. And when they were getting off that big old ship and walking down that gangplank, man, they had the big bands, red, white, and blue. And he thought, somebody has come to welcome me home. But unbeknownst to him, he was pushed back in the shadows. And the President of the United States was ushered out and the bands played. And H.C. Morrison, finally, when he disembarked, nobody was there. That was bad. He got his ride out to the little country town he lived in. When he got off the bus there, there was nobody to meet him there. He's a little discouraged, had a little place. He's walking down the road and he's kicking it. Lord, I don't understand. He said, I fought the battle on a foreign land, preached the gospel. I come home and there's nobody here to welcome me. Nobody here to say, welcome home, H.C. Nobody here to say, Bob. I said, I don't understand it. I said, just then the Spirit of the Lord moved up next to him and said, H.C., you're not home yet. Whew! My God, church. Hey, amen. They might not have praised us down here. We might not get a lot of applause. We might not be the biggest church, but one day when we get home... We're not home yet. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. I believe the old ship of Zion's getting ready to pull into heaven's harbor. Amen. Getting ready to drop the plank down of God's amazing grace. Hallelujah. The church is getting ready to line up. David in heaven's music is getting ready to strike up the band. Hallelujah. But until we get there, there's a battle to fight. There's a devil to conquer. There's a world to win. But when we get home, would you stand? Lift your hands. Say, heaven is my heartbeat. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're not home yet, friend. I wonder, is there one here tonight or this morning, you don't know the Lord? The only way to get to heaven and to enlist in this army is to be born again. A man must be born again. I wonder if there's one today that you'd make your way toward the front and say, I want to go to heaven. Preacher, I've been sedated by pleasure. I've been numbed by the good things that life brings, and I haven't even thought about heaven. This life's not even a battlefield to me anymore, really. I just live for myself. Would you search your heart this morning? Are you ready to go to heaven? You can't go up any other way. Good works won't get you there. Shaking a preacher's hand won't get you there. Coming to church just on Sunday won't get you there. But it's confessing and forsaking your sins and believing. If ye keep my commandments, Jesus said, ye abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Are you keeping His commandments? Are you living in the love of God? Is there one this morning? I want to give you a chance. How about it? You don't know the Lord and you want to get saved. Maybe you're a backslider and you're away from God and you want to pray back through. Would you come? Is there one? I don't know your hearts. How about it? Is there anybody you feel your need this morning to pray? Come and get on the old ship of Zion with us. Oh, it's battered the storms. It's weather beaten, but we're on our way home. Right now we're in a battle, but one day we're going to rest forevermore. Would you come? Is there one? As my wife begins to sing, saints, I want you to come around this altar. I want every child of God today to search your heart. Is heaven your heartbeat? Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Is your heart in heaven? is your heart in heaven? Come on, church, let's all gather around. We all need to search our souls. It's a battle. If you're in the heat of the battle and you're fighting the enemy, heaven's that much more sweeter. Is heaven sweet to you today? Is heaven sweet? Sweeter as the days go by, my longing and hunger for heaven is. Hallelujah.
And I'm longing for you.
Come on, are you homesick today?
And from there.
Are you in the midst of the battle? Keep on fighting. It's a battle, but one day we'll be home. Come on, do you have a homesick? This old world's not my home. That expedition don't satisfy. My home doesn't satisfy. I'm in this thing to go to heaven. Hold on loosely to everything that God's given me. It's not the main goal. My ultimate goal is heaven, 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 heaven.